Turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. It's truly good to be here, be gathered with God's family. This is the family that we will spend eternity with. So I hope you like me. This is the family. This is the family I enjoy being around. And I'm really glad to be here. Let me give you the message briefly. And then, Lord willing, I'll preach it. In Isaiah 42, here's the message. He shall not fail.
Amen.
He shall not fail. He can not fail. He did not fail. And he will not fail.
Amen.
Now, I hope the Lord enables me to preach this message, but that's the message. That's the message. And now he starts out in this verse 1. And this is God speaking, Almighty God speaking. And he says, behold. And when we hear that in the Word of God, we ought to get on the edge of our seat. Something's about to be said. Something of great importance is about to be said. And he says, behold, take notice of my servant. My servant. Whom I uphold. Mine elect. In whom my soul delighteth. God delights in this one. He said, my very being delights in him. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment or righteousness to the Gentiles. The person spoken of here is the man, Christ Jesus. He is God the Father's servant and was glad to be so.
Amen.
You call a man your servant nowadays, you'd probably get sued. You have to call associates or something. But he was not ashamed to be called God's servant. His servant. Over Philippians 2. Let me read this. I've got this marked over here in Philippians 2. Listen to this. Paul says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He came to serve. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give my life a ransom for many. That's why I came. To serve. Not ashamed to be called a servant. He came to accomplish. Not to try. But to accomplish our salvation. By his service. By his service. He came to put away sin. He came to honor the law. To satisfy justice. By his service. By his work. That's what he came to do. He came to magnify the law and make it honorable. No other person could do that but him. He could do it, and he did it. He did it. He kept the law, every jot and tittle, perfectly, in thought, word, and deed. If you can't keep it in thought first, forget the rest. Because God starts with a thought. God starts with the heart. And if you can't get that right, you can't get the rest of it right. And he got that right. He loved God's law. Oh, he said, I love thy law. Over in Psalm 119, I love thy law. And he was upheld by his Father. He said, whom I uphold. The Father upheld him. He trusted in the Father just as we trust him. He trusted God as we trust him. He was a real man. Body, soul, and spirit. Real man. And he trusted him. And he was approved. Well, this is my son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Which speaks to his perfection. Because God cannot be well pleased with anything that's not perfect. It's got to be perfect. And when He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," that speaks to His absolute perfection. He knew no sin. Though He were made sin, He knew no sin. Never committed, never thought, never even thought it. I can't comprehend that. I have learned over the years that as soon as I open this Bible, I'm in over my head.
Yeah.
Just as soon as I open it, I'm way over my head. And then it says he said, "I'll put my Spirit upon Him." As God, He is Spirit. God is Spirit. He is God. But as our mediator, as the man, He had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. He had it without measure. And He says here, "He shall bring forth." I tell you, I love the positiveness of this, of how this starts out. "My servant, whom I uphold." He said, "In whom my soul delights, I put my Spirit upon Him, and He shall." That's going to happen. That's real. We have a real salvation. We have a real Savior. "He shall bring truth. He shall bring righteousness to us Gentiles." Us Gentiles. Oh, to us who are far off. I never believed in aliens until I read the Bible. And then I found out we were it. You were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. I found out we were the aliens. But not anymore.
Amen.
Not anymore. He brought us right into the house. He let the dogs in the house. Isn't that amazing? He did. Our Lord, who shall bring judgment or righteousness to the Gentiles, shall save many. Who is this King of glory? Psalm 24. The Lord of hosts. You know, when we think upon our Lord's redemptive work, we ought to think large.
Amen.
We think, and I realize this about myself, I think way too little of God. We ought to think large. Large. A number, He said, which no man could number. Have you ever known? Now look at the universe. Look at creation. Has God done anything on a small scale? Has anything ever been done on a small scale by our God? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. "And He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street." I read to you, He made Himself of no reputation. The one who rightfully has a reputation. He didn't make Himself of any reputation. He didn't go out, say, "You know who I am?" You know, oftentimes He said, you know what He said most of the time to His disciples when He healed somebody? "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." He did not go about the streets crying and arguing with men. He was not a contentious person. The Pharisees and the scribes, they all came to Him to combat Him. But He didn't go after them. He didn't go looking for those birds. He didn't go looking for them at all. He didn't get sidetracked. He wasn't campaigning for an office. He was not a politician. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. He didn't come to prove anything. Oh, my soul. He did not come to prove anything to us. He came to save. Not to prove, He came to save. You cannot argue a man into salvation. He has to be born again. He has to be born of the Spirit. That's what he has to be. And our Lord went about His work quietly and confidently. You know why? Because He knew He was right. If you're right, you don't have to argue. He was right. He knew He was right. See, He went quietly and confidently about His Father's business. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." And He did so. And oh, listen here. Verse 3 is, I hope there's a bruised reed. I hope there's a smoking flax in here tonight. Boy, do I have good news for you.
Amen.
I've got good news for you. A bruised reed shall he not break. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. Put it out. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth or in truth. He's meek and lowly. This is a character. You want to know what God's like? Look to Christ. He's the image of God. Would you ever think that God Almighty was meek and lowly? Here's God manifest in the flesh. This is Him. He's meek and lowly. God's servant is kind to sinners. Those Pharisees weren't. But He is. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. That was a charge leveled against Him. This man, He eats with people like you and me. That's a charge. Can you believe that? He's gone to be a guest to sinners. That's people like me and you. Can you believe He went to my house?
Thank God.
Oh, I say He's a friend of publicans and sinners. The smoking flax, He'll not put it out. Come to Him. Look to Him. He'll not put it out. He will not break a bruised reed. That reed that's growing up in the marsh, in the mud, in the muck. That bruised reed that's hollow, that's empty. He'll not break it. He'll not break it. Our Lord delights to show mercy to sinners. I hope there's a sinner in the house. I know there is. He delights to show mercy to sinners. Sinners are welcome in His presence. You ever notice those who felt welcome in His presence? It was sinners. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, He will not despise. He will not destroy the least bit of interest in Him because He's the one who created it. He will not destroy any man's hope whose hope is in Him. He'll not do it. And His work shall be done in righteousness and truth. There was no sin in any word He spoke or any work that He done. No sin in it. No sin in it. Perfection. Absolute perfection. And He shall not fail. A man told me one time years ago. He said, Jesus Christ died for Judas as well as Peter. He said that to me to my face. Evidently he missed his chapter. There was a pastor that told me that. He shall not fail.
Amen.
Oh, man. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. If you knew you'd never fail, you wouldn't be discouraged, would you? I've owned a business for years. If I knew I wouldn't fail at it, I would get up and go to work every day no matter what was going to happen. Because I knew I wouldn't fail. When He came into this world, He knew He would not fail. He knew He would not fail to redeem. He knew He would not fail to satisfy God Almighty's justice. And He knew everything about that justice. He knew what it demanded. He knew He had not failed. And He didn't get discouraged. No. He knew He would not fail to establish a righteousness for His people by His obedience. He knew that. He knew He would not fail to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He knew that. He knew He would not fail to take the sting out of death and victory away from the grave. He shall not fail. He shall not. He shall not fail to subdue all things to Himself. Someday He's going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father fully intact. Because He shall not fail. He shall not fail. He shall not fail to deliver his people from the curse of the law and the power of sin. He's able to break the power of canceled sin. He's able to do that. He shall not fail to keep all for whom he died. I'm telling you, on God's word, every one of them shall be saved. He shall not fail. God's the one saying this. God Almighty here is speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah is writing. God is speaking. And my servant shall not fail to do this. It's not an attempt. It's a success story. He shall not fail. He shall not fail to magnify the law and make it honorable. In him we fulfilled the law. And it's honored. It is honored. And he shall not fail to raise his people to full glory and present them faultless before the presence of his glory.
Amen.
He shall not fail to do that. Oh, my soul. Now, nor be discouraged or broken. No. God's servant will not fail in his work. Therefore, he'll not be discouraged. He'll not quit. He will not quit. Because the way is too rough. We have a real tendency to quit when things get tough, don't we? We have a real tendency. But not our Lord.
Amen.
Not God's servant. Not God's servant. He will bear our iniquities. We can't even begin to fathom that. He will suffer God's wrath. He will suffer rejection of men. He will be nailed to a cross. But he will not quit. He will not say, this is enough. No. He will not quit till he has won the victory. And he's won it. It's settled. The victory's won. And he will set forth righteousness. He will satisfy God's justice. He will establish righteousness. And he'll set forth righteousness in the earth. And salvation will come to us Gentiles. Not just that little nation over there, but to people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. Now, who purposed all this? Who purposed all this? Well, it says in verse 5, thus saith God the Lord. This is who? He that created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that cometh and that which cometh out of it. Well, who did that? The Son of God. All things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing exists that He did not make. Nothing. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. The one who sent Christ to save is the God of heaven and earth. And He says here, and you know, you'll notice here, He speaks of His power. His power. You look at the vast universe. Look at the universe. Look at this earth. Look at all that is. And He said, I've created all this. I have the power to do this. I have the power to uphold my servant and bring all this to pass. I have the power. All things come of God. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? None can do that. He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Our Lord was called in a righteous manner. Consistent with divine perfection. Consistent with God Himself. There is no sin in the one whom God called. He is a spotless Lamb of God, and there's no sin in the way He saves sinners. No sin. No sin. And God will be with him. God promises him. And he believed God perfectly. That's why he wasn't discouraged. You know why you and I get discouraged? Unbelief. The very root of our discouragement is unbelief. But God said, I'll hold your hand. You know what? He believed that. He perfectly believed that. He's not alone. The Lord God here is saying, I'm not going to leave my servant alone. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to hold your hand. Over here in Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. He says in verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. He'll help me. I'm not in this alone. He will help me. Now there was a time, there was a space of time he was forsaken. But he says the Lord God will help me. And he believed it. He believed it. He said he'll help me, therefore shall I not be what? Confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. Why? Because the Lord God will help me. And I know I shall not be ashamed. When this is over, when I go to Jerusalem, and I bear the wrath of God and the rejection of men, I will not be ashamed of my work. Not be ashamed. No, right now he's seated at God's right hand. Right now. He's not ashamed. You know, the amazing part of it is he's not ashamed of me.
Amen.
This is the amazing part of it. Here's the amazing part of grace. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Not ashamed. Years ago, I lost my job. And I was standing in an unemployment line for the first time, and I was ashamed. And when I stood in that line, this is back when I was in early 20s. And I stood in that line, I was embarrassed. And this is the scripture, or this scripture I thought of. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And I thought, I shouldn't be ashamed being in this line. I belong in it. Oh, why am I doing being ashamed? I ought to be in this line. But my soul, he got in my line. He got right in line with me. And not ashamed. And I was just in line with some guys who was unemployed. He got in line with a bunch of wretches who hate God. And was not ashamed. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing grace. I tell you what, when you take the mystery out of the gospel and amazing out of grace, you don't have the gospel anymore. You don't have it anymore. The sum and substance of the covenant of grace, he said, I give thee for a covenant of the people. The sum and substance of the covenant of grace is given to us in, through, and by Jesus Christ himself. Until we know him, we know nothing of the covenant of grace. We don't know it. He's the surety of that covenant. He's the ratifier of that covenant. He's the mediator of that covenant. His blood is the blood of that covenant. I have given thee. God didn't give me a piece of paper. I said, here's a contract between me and you. He gave me his son. He gave his son. His son's the covenant. His son's the covenant. And then he also gave him to be a light. Is he not all things to us?
Amen.
Is he not all things to us? He gave him to be a light to us Gentiles. We were sitting in darkness. Our ancestry was in darkness and left in darkness. And then God gave His Son to be a light to us Gentiles. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are illuminated. Does it not say that He has come and given us an understanding over there in 1 John? That we may know Him that is true? Until we see Him, we have no light and we have no understanding of God. Not the God of redemption. Not the God of all grace. Not law. And listen, He's given Him as a covenant of the people. And He's given Him to open blind eyes. There was a time I thought I could see. There was a time I thought I did see. Made a profession. And then I realized I didn't see. To open blind eyes. One blind man said, I was blind. But now I see. He's brought up out of ignorance as to who God is. It's amazing. Over the years, you know, I've worked in plants, and if somebody will start talking, when they find out you're a preacher, they start talking about God. And it is a God that just, boy, it was a bad whittle job. Whittled them one up, and I'm telling you, it was a bad job. It's evident they've never read the Scriptures. Evident they don't have a clue who God Almighty is. Well, I didn't either until He came. And opened blind eyes. And you didn't either. Opened blind eyes. He brought us out of ignorance as to who God Almighty is. As to who He is. As to who and what we are. We've learned that through Him. We've learned that through Him. And He has set, it says here, and to set the prisoners free. Well, you cannot appreciate this unless you've been blind and locked up. I tell you what, if you've ever been blind and locked up, you love this one. You can appreciate it. No man loves, enjoys grace that's not been guilty. That's for the guilty. You got to be guilty. You got to know what it is to be bound in prison of sin.
Yes.
Or self-righteousness to really appreciate God's servant. Amen. And His work. Set the prisoner free from his bondage to the law, to ceremonies, to all law, moral law. I'm not under any of that to keep for my salvation. He's my salvation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ Himself. Well, David said, God has become my salvation. And those that sit in darkness, you know, sitting here supposes resting. Resting in darkness. Weren't you at rest? Weren't you, I'm not talking about, it's a false rest, but you weren't looking for Him when He found you. I was found of them that sought me. No, you weren't looking for Him. He just stood in the way. He is the way. To those that sit in darkness, this describes all men by nature. All of us. Children of wrath by nature, even as others. We are born in darkness, sit in darkness, live in darkness, and if He doesn't save us, we'll die in darkness and then get cast into outer darkness. But my soul, He came to open the blind eyes, to set the prisoner free, and those that sit in darkness, to give them light.
Amen.
And to set them free. That's exactly what's happened to you whom God saved. That's what's happened. And this is the way it is with us. By nature. Until Christ comes in and takes over the house. Until the strong man comes in and takes over. We sit in darkness. Until the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. We sit in darkness. I'm the Lord. That's my name. Don't give that to anybody else. That's my name. and my glory. And don't you give that to anybody else. He says, will I not give to another? Neither my praise to graven image. This is not a God speaking. This is the God speaking, the only God that is speaking. I am the Lord. I'm the only one that is the self-existent God, the eternal God, the unchangeable God. That's who's speaking. That's who's speaking. And I'm not going to give my glory to a dumb idol. I'm not going to give my glory to a statue or to something that's been whittled out, a piece of wood. And the rest of it, you took and burned it and roasted hot dogs on. He said, I'm not going to give my glory to another. My redemptive glory, my creative glory, any of my glory. I'm not going to give it to another. And don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't say, well, boy, was I lucky. No, don't you do it. If you describe that to a lucky God. No, I'm the Lord. That's my name. Find out that name and you'll find out who he is. And he says again, behold, note this. The former things are come to pass. In verse 9. And new things do I declare before they spring forth. I reveal them to you. I tell you of them. Now pay attention, he says, to this. The things that I spoke of in the past, have they not come to pass? Did he not tell Abraham that his seed would go down into Egypt for 400 years, and then after that, I would bring them out? Did that not happen? Well, no dumb idol ever did that. No dumb idol ever revealed has never revealed a future to you. Now I'm telling you something new. I'm going to tell you a new thing. Glorious, something glorious. It's concerning the Messiah, my servant. And these things are going to come to pass also. They're going to spring forth like seed sown in the ground. It's going to spring up at its appointed time. Christ is going to come. The seed of the woman is going to come at his appointed time. And when he comes, you're going to know that it was of me. This one's of me. Did he not say, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son? Did I not tell you that? Well, when it happens, remember I told you. No dumb idol ever did that. And then he said, now sing unto the Lord. Don't we have something to sing about? Sing. That's part of worship. You know, it doesn't replace preaching, but it's a part of worship. Because singing is praise. It's praising Him. It's a part of worship. It's so serious, the words and the songs we sing. It's serious. Sing with understanding. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, because of God's servant, we have much to sing about. And we have a new song. Not the old idolatrous songs. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Well, I used to love that song. But I sure like the way Mike sings it now. Christ of the cross. We rejoice and worship the Christ of the cross. Not an old rugged cross. We rejoice in the one who was nailed to that cross. And we rejoice in Him. And in Him alone. In Him alone. And he says, and you let the wilderness and the cities, let those who dwell in the darkest parts of the earth, and those who dwell in the cities, let them all lift up their voice together and sing praise unto Him who died for us and washed us from our sins in His blood. And let those who say, he says, who dwells in the rocks, the poorest of the poor, can't even afford a roof over their head. They've got to go in a cave. He saves men of all nationalities, all races, all parts of society. He saves them all. No matter what part of society you come from, if God has saved you in Christ, you have a right to sing with the great congregation.
Amen.
You have a right to do it. You have a blood-bought right to sing His praises.
Amen.
Now, he said, let them give glory. And I'll wind this up. Let them give glory, honor unto the Lord, and declare His praise in the islands. Never hold back His praise. Declare it to the remote part of the earth. He said, go out to the islands and tell it. You can't be prejudiced and be a gospel preacher. You can't do it. Can't do it. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Now listen here. He's going to go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. One day, God will put to silence, once for all, Satan and all his enemies and our enemies. One day he'll do that. He'll rise up like a mighty man and he'll put an end to all rebellion. Men just get to rebel for a while. One day he's going to put an end to it. He's going to roar like a mighty lion over his prey. It says when Christ rose from the grave, he led captivity captive. He conquered all principalities and powers, and everything is put under his feet. Oh, he said, I've a long time holding my peace. I've been still, refrained myself, but I'm going to cry now like a travailing woman. I'm going to destroy and devour at once. I've been long-suffering. You know why he's long-suffering? For his elect's sake.
Yeah.
He's long-suffering for his elect's sake. But once he takes them out of the way, he will destroy all things that offend. He will destroy and devour at once. Outside of Christ, God Almighty is a consuming fire. He is not a merciful God outside of Christ. He's a God you don't want to deal with. And you don't want to meet. He will destroy and devour at once. In a moment when we think not, there will not be a trace, not even a trace of sin left one day. One day there won't even be a trace. Not even a trace of sin left. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And this won't even come to mind. I'll make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I'll dry up the pools. Everything we count as strong and abiding, he will bring down and dry it up. And there won't be a blessing left in anything of this earth. The only blessings that will be left are those in Christ. But I tell you what, I think of this today. This also has to happen to me. I will make waste mountains. I've got to come off that high mountain. I've got to be brought down off that high mountain. I can assure you this, nobody thinks more of me than me. And nobody thinks more of you than you. And you and I have got to be brought off that mountain. And we've got to be dried up. And then he says here, and I'll close, verse 16. And I'll bring the blind by way. In his wrath, he always remembers mercy. His wrath is not out of control. It's not like us. We get out of control. We start showing our wrath and anger. We're out of control, usually. But not God. It's an execution of justice. But in his wrath, he remembers mercy. I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they've not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He's not going to forsake his own. Not going to do that. I'm going to save sinners. That's the way he said. I'm going to save sinners. And I'm going to save them by a way that they didn't even think of. I'm going to save them by a way that they did not even know of. A way that they had never even heard of or saw before the gospel came to them. You say, my. I've never seen that before. How many times have I heard people say that after preaching? How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I never saw that before? Well, that's because he said he's bringing you by a way you didn't saw, you didn't see before. He always does what he says. No. No, I'll lead them in paths of righteousness, his righteousness, that they did not know. Not until he revealed it to them. Not until he made it known. The mysteries of the gospel that was hid from ages shall be made known to them. And I will not forsake them. Is there a smoking flax? Is there a bruised reed? Listen, I'll not forsake them. I'll not forsake. We have God's word on that. We have God's word. I will not forsake you. You can go home and sleep with that. You can go home now. If that will not give you rest, well, just keep on calling upon him until he does give you rest. I'll not forsake them. Scripture says he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. He will not, now listen, he will not forsake the work of his hand or the work of his servant. God's servant is successful. He shall not fail.
Amen.
Okay, Don.
Amen.